Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you for what you are doing amidst. Thank you for the way you are guiding our hearts. Thank you for the way you are guiding our hearts. Thank you for mobilizing us to pray. Thank you for your sons and your daughters. Thank you for where you are going with us. Thank you for this is another beginning. Another beginning unto the greater days ahead. Please, Lord, prepare us and set us on fire. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Please be seated. Praise the Lord. I was really not too happy that Amana just stopped. I was enjoying the instructions and I was ready to make my own note. I hope you will not stop it. The Lord will continue to bring that forth. But I hope you have heard what the Lord was sharing with you. Eh? That there are two dimensions of open heaven. That as God opened the heavens to your life, over your head, you must go ahead and say, Lord, let the ground under my feet, let it not be like brass. Let it not be dry. Let the rain of my own territory, let it not become like dust. If God has ordained that you are going to bring a change in your generation, God must also help that everything that concerns you and where God is posting you, there shall be an open heaven. There will be a divine visitation over it in the name of Jesus Christ. That prayer, you will continue to pray. You will not stop praying that prayer until we see the glory that is coming. Praise the Lord. I would like to bring a word this morning on how to perpetuate the open heavens. How to keep under the open heavens for a long, long, long time. How not to be cut short. How not to only appear to disappear. How not to be like a mist that started powerfully, but in a short while it has finished. How will this continue? How will you perpetuate the heavens that God is intending and is releasing over our heads? Perpetuating the heavens that are opened. That's what we are longing that God will bring us into. Particularly today. Praise the Lord. And there are a few things that I will be reading to you if God, in His mercy, is opening His heavens to your life, what we need to take note of, how to perpetuate the heavens that are open. The first thing I would like to start with, how not to close the heavens. That would be the first. But you know, when you have learned how not to close the heavens, you have dealt with the negatives that cut many men short. But if we stop with how not to, then what you will be doing will be a kind of defensive mechanism. It means you are going to be conservative, but perpetuating open heavens will require being conservative, making sure that the thing that can stop it does not come your way. And then it must push forward, it must increase, it must progress. That's what we perpetuate it. But we cannot perpetuate when what is cutting it short has not been dealt with. Is that all right? Praise the Lord. One thing that Deuteronomy 28 said, which I would like to ask you to quickly read, in order not to stop the heavens that God is bringing to you. Let's read it very quickly. In Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses of Deuteronomy 28 gave a very, very elaborate commitment of God when heavens have opened to a man's life because of obedience to God. Obedience to God and obedience to His word, obedience to His vision, obedience to what He has called you to do without deviating, will keep the heaven over your head opened. So I want all of us to read Deuteronomy 28. We read the first 14 verses. And as we read it, I know you would like to keep saying amen, amen, amen. But it is not your amen that will make it to happen. What will make it to happen? Your obedience. So let's read it together. And it shall come to pass. Would you like to read with me? Eh? If I read one verse, can you read the second? So that I can be sure you are with me. And I want you to read it as unto yourself. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Verse 2. Shall come on you and overtake you, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. The fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. When you come in, and blessed shall thou be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way, and they will flee from you. How many ways? Seven ways. Yes. The Lord shall command houses And in all that thou settest your hand unto, and it shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God giveth you. The Lord shall establish you an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Hallelujah. And the Lord shall make you plenteous, plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give you. Is good treasure. The heaven to give you rain unto your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, to observe and to do them. Verse 14 together. Thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. Somebody want to say amen to that, Abby? Thank you. Thank you. I'm first dealing with how to perpetuate the open heavens. But the condition is very simple. It's very clear. There is no ambiguity about it. Let me repeat it to you one more time. It shall come to pass. Hallelujah. All that we have spoken about, it shall come to pass. All the prophetic word of God that you have heard, it shall come to pass. God does not speak empty words. God does not make empty promises. God does not cajole any man that he has called. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God is God's own bond. Whenever God speaks a word, God decides to bind himself with what he has said. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, God is committed to it 100%. And this commitment is not for 2 years, it's forever. He said, heaven and earth may pass away, not a jot or a tittle of what God has said will go unfulfilled. Even if the whole world were to gang against what God said, there's no problem. What God has said concerning me, what will happen to it? It will come to pass. There is no doubt that what God has said shall come to pass. Are you hearing me? And there's no fear that the kind of things that God is declaring in our midst, declaring in our ears, and speaking to your inner man, and it is moving in your spirit, you know that in this meeting, God has said something to my life. I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. What God said to some of us many, many years ago, it looks so bogus. It looks so impossible, especially when there was nothing, when there's nobody around, when there is no help, when there was no backbone, when there was no support. People look at me and say, Ragbile, what you are saying? You're a daydreamer. But I know I'm not a daydreamer. And I know I'm not just speaking for myself. I am only taking what God says, as he said it. Let me say again to you today. And it shall come to pass. Tell somebody by your side and say, brother, the thing God is saying concerning you, it shall come to pass. God does not make empty promises. God is not speaking just to impress us. Before God opens his mouth to make a declaration, he has calculated what it will cost him. And he has stockpiled all that he will need to make good his promise. So help me tell the other person by your side, say, did you hear what we have been talking about? All that God is saying concerning you, it shall come to pass. But we are going to do it differently now. It is possible that somebody is not believing. And you will now tell him, say, look at me. What God is saying concerning me, it shall come to pass. And if God gives you long life, you will see it come to pass in my life. Hallelujah. 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 Whereas, when I started on Tuesday night, I highlighted the but. I highlighted the but. And I saw that the but is the only thing that cut short the hand of God from doing what he has said he would do for a man. But this morning, I will highlight the if. Are you understanding now? We are going to highlight the if. The condition for perpetuating open heavens. The condition for entering into all that God has spoken about. And you will see it very simply. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on earth above all nations of the earth. What is that if? Let's quickly draw it out, because the matter of perpetuating open heavens is on this if. And at any time you see heavens suddenly close over a man, close over his ministry, close over his life. It is because of that Eve that had been put aside. Now, if you shall akin, that's the first word. The word akin. And the word akin is a double word. The word akin has to do with the word to hear. But if it was just the hear, and there is no the king there that is about to keep, when you hear and you do not keep at it, then the Bible says you are deceiving yourself. Say the man who is a hearer but not a keeper, not a doer, he is deceiving himself. So the first word, if thou shalt do what? Akin, that is, you hear and you keep. You hear and you take it to heart as to take heed to what you have heard. That's the first word. That's the first word. The first trouble is that there are thousands of hearers, but there are very few who hearken. There are people that are eager to hear. They actually travel from one place to the other to hear. But they have not heard. They have not paid attention. They have not hearkened. When a man has heard and has not taken heed to what he is hearing, he has become a man who deceives himself, who feels nice that I hear. He feels nice that I know all the messages. He feels nice that there is no message that Evangelist Sunday Oguche is preaching that I don't have. You have not fulfilled that condition for your heavens to be perpetuated. Now, look at the next word. I will pick it up as I'm going on this morning in a very short while. Did you notice the next word they introduced? If thou shalt hearken, how? Diligently. I didn't know that it takes diligence to hear God. I didn't know that it requires diligence to hear God and to act on what you are hearing. I realize that it requires diligence. Excuse me, what's the meaning of diligence? Baba? Hard work. Carefulness. Yes, sir. Watchfulness. Yes, sir. Consistency. Persistence. Amen. That mama wants to talk, yes. To be what? To be sober.
Wow.
All right. That's good. All of it is good. But the word to be diligent includes everything that we have said. It includes watchfulness. It includes hard work. It includes deliberateness. It includes persistence. It includes steadiness. It will require meticulousness. It will mean, as our sister says, soberness. I will have called it sobriety. It will require that you pay attention to little details. It will require that you do not omit anything, no matter how little it is. It will require that you are very sensitive, that everything that you have been instructed, you do not allow excitement to make you omit some. May God give you understanding. I am bringing this back this morning because what God is beginning with us again must not be cut short. It must not fizzle out. It must not become a mere slogan. It must affect our world significantly. And it must be such that it will usher in the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If thou shalt hearken diligently. I have found that word diligently all through the Word of God. If you go to 2 Timothy, where they were talking about how to win God's approval as a servant of God, they said, be diligent to present yourself unto God as a worker that has been approved. When Brother Joshua was to go on and take over from Moses, the only word that was given to him, he said, be thou diligent to observe, to do all that I have commanded you. Praise the Lord. What has closed the heavens over time has always been little omission, little disobedience, imperceptible deviation from the plan and purpose of God for a man's life, boundaries that God set for your life that you cross. And I will be telling you today that for every man that God opens heaven to him or to her, God sets boundaries for such a life. Many, many times I have found that when God is going on a long journey with you, and when God wants to use you for a long time, and when God wants you to last in the anointing that He's releasing on your life, He sets boundaries for your life. Those boundaries, to outsiders, they think you are in bondage. But to you who is walking with God, those boundaries, they are your safety. They are your protection. Those boundaries They are set by God to perpetuate what God wants to do with your life. And anytime you are being tempted to cross the boundary, and I want you to know this, there are so many of you that have experienced a measure of divine help in your life. You have experienced a measure when the word of God was opened to you, when the heavens seem to have opened and you are beginning to have inroad. But you will notice that those boundaries that were set for your life, permit me to say to you, such boundaries are invisible to your neighbor. Praise the Lord. Such boundaries are not advertised to anyone else because it doesn't concern them. Such boundaries are set peculiarly and particularly for your life. And it may not be so set for someone else. Are you hearing me? But unfortunately, if you want to be like the other person, and you see that this man has no boundary around his own life, he can do anything, he can go anywhere, he can eat anywhere, and you are saying, Lord, is it only me that has to be under this? Can't I be like my friend? Oh, my friend, if you want to be like your friend, you lose your distinctiveness. If you want to be like them, you lose the special hand of God on your life. The boundary set for every life was set by God in love for that life. What God will not let me step into is for my advantage, is for my growth, is for my benefit. Are you hearing me? And because it is not so visible to onlookers, some people may, because they don't know what God is doing with me, they may say, you are too strict for you on yourself. They may even say, you are in bondage. They may even say, you are old-fashioned. They may even say, you are, oh my God, I don't know what name they have not said. But, and sometimes, they will organize sympathy fellowship. May God not allow you to enter into sympathy of men that will take you away from your boundaries. When that begins to happen, I want to inform you, it is only a little while you will see them. After you have missed your way, after you have missed your own heavens, they will disappear. In fact, oh my God, in fact, they will preach against you. They say, this man used to stand, but he has missed it. Can I give you a little example of that young prophet? There was that young prophet in 1 Kings chapter 13. Do you remember him? Eh? Very young prophet, God began to use him. God sent him all the way from Judah, all the way to Bethel to go and prophesy, to go and speak against the atrocities of the king that was there. and to go and prophesy against the altar that was set up there. And God gave him clear instruction. Did he give him clear instruction? God gave him boundaries that he must not cross. One of his boundaries, God said, when you go there, prophesy. Don't sleep there. If they offer you food, don't eat. If they want to give you honorarium, don't collect. What a boundary. He went, and as he was prophesying, to prove that God sent him, the altar broke down. The king came, he wanted to slap him. The hand of the king was hanging like this. The man started trembling. Say, please beg your God for me. Please beg your God for me. And then the brother said, Father, please pardon him. Pardon him. He doesn't know what he's doing. So his hand came down. By the time the brother was going, they asked him to eat. He said, no. Your journey is too far. Please sleep. He said, no, I'm not to sleep here. Can't we give you some honorarium to carry along? Say, I've not take one thing from here. I'm going. And he was going. A great work had been done. I don't know what that brother would have become if he continued within his boundary. Because that was his first outing. There was not such an outing before. And now he has come out and something wonderful took place. Miracle took place. Demonstration of the power of God took place. The glory of God came down. And he was to walk within his boundary. Then people went back. And they were telling the story. Say, ah, a man of God came here today. A man of God prophesied, though. Look at what God did. Look at how the king's hand withered. And he only prayed and the Lord restored the hand. Ah, this Bethel altar. It is clear that it is not the right altar. I think we should all return back to Jerusalem where we used to worship God. Ah, a great revival was taking place. Are you hearing me? The children of the senior prophet. That's a senior prophet who had been living in the land of compromise. There's a senior prophet who is waking up night and day, eating and drinking with the king of Israel. When they told him that a man has come, this is what he said, this is what happened. He commanded his children, please, saddle and ask for me. Let me run and pursue the man. Let me pursue him. Do you remember that part of the boundaries that God set for the young prophet? And you will not sleep. And you will not stay in any of that vicinity. Move. Keep moving until you leave the territory. But as he left the town, are you hearing me? He came under a juniper tree and something began to break his boundary. What did he do? He sat down to relax. May you not miss your boundary. May senior prophet not lure you out of your boundary. If what God is beginning to do in your life will last, you will act diligently. When you use the word diligent, it means you are going to be meticulously careful You are going to study again and again and again. What are the instructions of God for your life? You are going to spend time over and over and over and over and over again to gain personal, progressive understanding of what is it that is peculiar about my life, about my calling, about my ministry, about the vision that God has given me. Brothers, while this young man was resting, the senior prophet arrived on the ass. And the senior prophet said, "My brother, are you the one who came and prophesied to the altar in Bethel?" He said, "Yes, I am the one." Did you hear what the man of God said, the senior man of God? He said, an angel just appeared to me and asked me to go and bring you back so that you can eat and refresh yourself before you continue your journey. Let me ask you. Is the voice of an angel, is it more important than the voice of God? You are not hearing me at all? Is the message of a man of God higher than the word that God Almighty has spoken to your heart? Talk to me, please. If you will perpetuate this move of God on your life, if this heaven will be open on your head continually, you will acting what? Diligently to those things that God has spoken to you. And because the boundaries God set for any man he wants to use, there are boundaries. And these boundaries, I said, they are unique to individuals. I cannot, let me tell you the truth now, I cannot forget my boundaries. I cannot allow you to persuade me to walk outside my boundaries. Neither will I exchange any man's instruction when he contradicts and takes me outside the boundary that God has set for my life and for what he has asked me to do. You may ridicule me. You may say Bragile is narrow-minded. You may say I am not social. And I'm not sociable. You may hear them say, "He doesn't move with people." I move with people. I know you know that I move with people. But I move with the kind of people that don't take me outside my boundaries. You know I love the brethren. And I love the body of Christ. And there is no man anywhere in the body of Christ that is my enemy. But not all of them could be in my company. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I'm not afraid to exclude somebody from my company. It is not because I hate him. It's just that he is not in my company. Oh my God, did you hear me? It's not that I respect him, but he's not in my company. I can't go with him. There are things that he is involved. And if a sheep begins to walk with a dog, what will that sheep eventually begin to do? It will begin to eat shit. Sheep don't eat. They don't eat shit. But you know dog. Dog can shit now. And he go run. When he's hungry, you come and eat it again. Dog can vomit something here now. After a while, what he vomited that we thought he will never do again. What does he do? He return back and he's eating it. No. Do you want to perpetuate the move of God on your life? You will acting diligently, not casually, not occasionally, not superficially, diligently. So this man, oh my God, did you remember? When he came, he said, an angel just appeared to me now that you're a man of God and I should bring you back home to come and eat and refresh yourself. Whereas, this young prophet, he even said, God has told me not to eat, not to drink, not to do anything. I was wondering why he volunteered such information. Sometimes you talk too much. Your private instruction, why are you sharing with strangers? The thing that God told you to keep you within the contact that God has given you, why do you make it reduce and joke with those who are going nowhere? Why is your mouth so porous that the things that God confided in you, never to let anybody know? Why will you be saying it carelessly? He said, you know, God even said, I should not even eat anything here. I should not sleep here. I should not do anything. He was diverging the boundaries of his anointing onto a stranger. This stranger is a backslider. This stranger are people that had been, they had opportunity to carry this anointing before. Something tripled them. And they fell. And they are sitting in their vomit. And they are not ready to repent. Are you hearing me? And they are settled. And they want to be teaching you. They want to call you aside. Like one was calling me aside. And said, Bile, what you are doing, we have done it before. I heard that you are doing this. We did that before. And could I argue with him? I knew they did it before. One thing he did not know is that he did not know that part of my instruction is that the things I gave this man to do, they have failed. I am raising you to recover it. He didn't know. Did I need to tell him? I say, thank you, sir. He said, but I want to tell you that what you are doing will not work. Come and learn how to do things. Thank you, sir. And you know, I've learned not to allow people that are not on my path to set up a useless battle for me. A man that is going on a long journey, are you hearing me, has no time to settle quarrel with those whose burial ground is around. There are people that they are going nowhere. So any little thing you did like this, they will quarrel you. So that you can forget where you are going and begin to fight useless fight. I hope you know the Bible said, I have fought a good fight. Abi, there is a good fight. There is a useless fight. And a man that is going far must never entangle himself with useless fight. So the man said, an angel just told me to bring you back. Forget what God told you. You know, I'm a senior man of God and I used to hear everything, including angels. That's how he put the brother and went back home with him. When he finished food and all of that, he said, oh, you can now continue. You know what pained me was that when the young man got back on the road, because he has violated his boundary, he has contaminated the anointing. You may think it's a little thing. It's not little. When I was sharing with our pastors yesterday, and I said, Moses, a great man of God, did not make it finally. What was the issue? Boundaries. Boundary. There are things others can do. I cannot. Praise the Lord. Others may go everywhere doing it. I cannot. It is not because I am judging people. No, I have no business judging men. And don't judge people. Face your journey. Is that all right? Keep within your boundary. If they are also walking well, we will meet up there. When a lion and a bear met the young man, and they took him up and tore him apart, I thought that the lion was hungry. But as you read the Bible, the lion and the bear, they were not hungry. They only came to discipline a man who has walked outside his boundary. They stood there. They did not hit him. They did not kill the animal he was riding. They were watching. When the senior man of God heard that this brother had been killed on the road, he went. Did you hear what he said? You didn't hear what he said. Read it for me. 1 Kings 13. Don't leave Deuteronomy because that's where I am. But look at 1 Kings chapter 13. Look at what the man said. It's what he said that was paining my heart. Oh my God. Verse 18 was where he met him. I'm a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you into your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But what did the Bible say he did? He lied to him. Lying prophets. I'm learning to walk within my own boundaries.
Now, so he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came to the prophet that brought him back. Oh, I say, Lord, this kind of complication. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded you. But camest back and has eaten bread and drawn water in the place of the which the Lord did say to you, eat no bread and drink no water. Thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of your fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way. And the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God. Who was what? Who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord? Therefore the Lord has delivered him into the lion, which has torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. May you not miss your boundary. May you deliberately remain diligent. Kind of story has always baffled me, but I have continued to look at it and say, God, when this man of God now began to now cry with the word of God and say, cry, thus says the Lord, since you have come back, he did not say, sorry that I brought you back. He did not say, man of God, do you know I told you a lie? No angel spoke to me. I played pranks on you to see whether you will obey your God or not. Now that you have disobeyed God, I'm going to meet you on the road as you are going now, and you are finished. Your carcass will not get to your father's sepulcher. You will die on the road and you will be buried in a strange land. Don't ask me, why did God allow him? Don't ask me, such lying prophets, what will be their fate? Don't ask me about that. And that's not my business. And I think that should not be your business. What should be your business? How to walk diligently within your boundary. Every open heavens come with an instruction. Every man that God wants to use and use significantly, God does not leave them without clear boundary instructions. So this morning, if you will perpetuate the open heavens over your life, if by the grace of God, you are going to fulfill the purpose for which God is visiting you, particularly now again, if by the grace of God, you will see the glory of God established in the land of the living, then there is this if that you cannot ignore. If I remind you, there is no one that God opens heaven to, and there are no boundary instructions. The reason is because every move of God is exclusive. Even though his outworking may include many, but his receiving of it, putting the custodianship of it on a man's life, is exclusive. I am responsible for that measure of open heavens that heaven had granted us. I am very responsible for all that God has spoken about that he wants to do if I were going to walk with him. I have been praying, Lord, help me to be diligent. Now, brothers and sisters, as God will visit many of you, and things will break forth in your life, and great, great outbursts will come, and great miracles will begin to happen. And when you stand up to do something, God will confirm you with signs and wonders. Don't let men carry you on their shoulders outside your boundary. I hear them say, give honor to whom honor is due. Give honor to whom honor is due. Be careful. I beg you, be careful. The journey before you is long. Where God is going with you, you have not yet scratched it. I have been speaking over and over. I said, what we have seen here is still a small thing compared with where God is taking this walk. I have not stopped saying that. And each time I see what God is expanding, I kept saying, yes, very much, much, much more. There are yet many lands to be possessed. There are yet very many nations that are waiting. There are yet so much more that God is about to do. Don't let little things, little breakthrough, break you down. Breakthroughs has tendency of breaking down people's personal consecration. Little breakthroughs. You know why? Because ignorant people are already impressed. Are you hearing me? Somebody that has not eaten meat for 1 year. If you catch a small rat and give him. You just roasted a small rat and give him. What will he do? Eh? He will so excitedly dance around rats.
was supposing you brought an antelope. I said, brother, this antelope is actually for you. I have roasted it. What will happen to the rat in his mouth? Hey, man, no. This rat is even full of bones. Why is it full of bones now? There's an antelope. Don't break your teeth cracking the bone of a rat. Antelope is being prepared for you. It is my wife that has taught me a lot. Whenever I'm hungry, I'm really hungry. And maybe they are making special food that is not yet ready when I came. And I was very hungry. You know what I normally would do? All the granola that is there, all the banana, anything at all. What will I do? I grab, and fill my stomach. When the real food that was being made really for me is ready, I am already full of what? Of junks. Of nothing. There's no space. So you know what they do? Whenever they know that I'm coming and my food is being prepared, they pack out, they pack away all of those things and say, don't fill your stomach with junks. Food is ready. Wait. May the Lord pack away from you all the junks that will not let you go far in life. May God keep you hungry until the real thing arrives. There are many young people, they lost appetite because they fill their lives with little things. So they are no more hungry for the greater thing. They are already settled about what is not there. The hunger that will perpetuate the heavens open on your life must not be quenched too early. When I even use too early, you know, for me, I want to say, may it never be quenched. May I never lose my hunger for the glorious days ahead. May I keep being hungry for something higher. But you know the truth is this. When you are hungry for something more than what you have now, there's a different strength that sprouts in you because you are going for something higher. I know you know the song I used to sing to you all the time. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. The praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on a higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. Higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. May the Lord plant your feet on higher ground. May you lose appetite for rats so that you can access the great, great antelopes that heaven is keeping for you. For eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, does not enter the heart of any man what God has prepared for those who love him. What you have seen now is little compared with what is ahead. Would you like to say to God, the condition to perpetuate, to progressively move into the open heaven, help me not to miss it. I read it again to you before you will jump on your feet to pray with me today. He said, if thou shalt ask him casually, intermittently, once in a while, loosely, what did he say? Diligently. I call you this morning unto diligent obedience. Meticulous obedience. Careful obedience. Sensitive obedience. Obedience to little things. Obedience to what others may not see. What others don't regard as wrong. It may not be wrong for them, but for me, heaven said, no, you can't touch that. You can't be involved in that. You cannot eat that. You cannot take that. Don't contaminate your life with their cursed thing. I'm repeating this because I'm trusting God to help us. I'm trusting God that you'll be obedient. I'm trusting God that those of you that have, you know, jumped and walked outside the boundary, you have been lured, you have been pressed, you have been pulled, may God pull you back. May the Holy Spirit strike your heart afresh in the name of Jesus Christ, which I command you this day. If you shall act in diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe, oh brothers, I thought that obedience is a very simple word. And I thought that not very much. But when I see all the various things God say a man who wants to walk under this open heaven must do, I sense that we need to teach again. Look at it. To observe. What's the meaning of observe? Some of you have been helping me before. What does he observe? To watch over, okay? To study carefully. To be mindful. You know, for us who are scientists, when you set up an experiment and you need to take readings, sometimes your readings have to take in one hour. And you need to come and observe what is the chemical reaction doing. And you are coming. Sometimes observation is not possible with ordinary eye. You come with a microscope to see the activity that you are observing so that you can know what is going on. But all the way the brothers have spoken, they are correct. So that my scientific mind is saying to observe means to examine very, very carefully as to discover minutest details so as to understand how does this quiet principle work with this particular precept and how does this concept interact
with this other one, that you may know the right step to take. If you are going to go further, God, if everyone is going to promote us to where he's talking about, if you are going to sing for a long time for God, if the Lord is going to use you to shake the whole world, if the entire globe will wait for the utterance that God will put in your mouth, you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God to observe. But the word observe also goes beyond to watch. Observe, when you use it again, it means to carry out. Praise the Lord. To carry out. To execute the demands of that instruction. If it says, don't turn left, even though the left turn looks like a shortcut will cut you short. Don't turn left. When I get to the junction that turns left, what do I do? Talk to me, what do? I go straight. They say, brother, I believe there's a shortcut here that will take you to where you are going very quickly. I say, shortcut, many times, cut men short. They say, where did you hear that? I know where I heard it. I don't need to explain where I heard it. They say, why do you prefer to suffer yourself? You are going through a long route. I say, leave me alone. Those of you that know the road, you know the shortcut that make you link up somewhere. Those of us that don't know the road, what do? We take the road that we know. But I have always discovered that those who took shortcuts, I never met them again. Something cut them short. Quarter to arriving, they met their trouble. All I'm saying to you this morning, and I do that with all my heart, was praying this morning, was saying, Lord, this, don't let it be cut short. It's a new move of the Spirit. It's another opportunity. Father, don't let it derail. As I see several of you, my spirit is simply saying, these are my new beginnings. I am trying them out. I'm begging God, you will not die young. When I say you will not die young, listen to me. There are many ways people die young. There are people that die young, young in terms of age. But there are many people whose anointing is young, but it has died. They have died with their young anointing, but they are still living. There are people, what heaven is doing with their lives is still very young. But it has potential to be great. But they carelessly
They cut it short.
And so that wonderful thing already died young. You will not die young. You will live long to see the glory of God. You will persevere and persist until all that God meant to do by your life begins to break forth in the name of Jesus Christ. So look at the word. To observe and to do all, not some. All that I've commanded you. Talking about boundaries, I said there is no man to whom heavens have opened that he did not come with a boundary. This boundary is not a narrowness. This boundary is not to gag you from growing great. It is to keep you in line. It's to keep you in touch. And it's to keep you in shape. It's to keep your life where God can assess it. It has nothing to do with becoming great. It has everything to do with preserving the man who will do great things for God. May the Lord bless you. May the Holy Spirit, who does what no man can do, may he give increase to what I'm saying to you today. May it ring in your heart. Even when some of us are no more there, may you keep hearing the voice of the Lord. All the little illustrations you see me using, it is to give you something to hold. I said, don't break your teeth cracking the bone of a rat. Did you hear that? If you don't remember anything, just remember rat, antelope, rat, antelope. When they are throwing rat at you, remind yourself. Beat your chest. Tear your heart. Not for rat, as God raised me. I'm going somewhere. I'm going beyond here. I will be diligent. If you do this, look at all the blessing that we now talked about. If you do this, the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. You will do one thing, and God is ready to do the other thing. So, follow me to read it again. The Lord your God will set you where? On high, above all nations of the earth. All these blessings shall do what? Shall come on you. They will overtake you if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. They said, will you be in the city? And blessed that thou be in the field. I know you would like to say amen. But what I thought you would have said amen to, you did not say amen to. What did I say you should say amen to? If, when God say if, I want you to say yes, Lord. Because all these other blessings, they are follow come.
You don't need to run around them. The only thing you need to run around is how you will be what? Diligent. To acting. To obey. To do all that God has told you to do. I just feel if I tell you that and you agree with me, it shall be well with you. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall thou be your basket and your store. Blessed shall thou be when you come in, and you will be blessed when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemy that rise up against you to be what? To be smitten before your face. Listen. Are you going to be chasing your enemy to go and strike them? No. What is your own business? What are you supposed to do? To be diligent to obey what God has told you to do. You don't have battles to fight. Only one battle. Battle for obedience. Battle to obey God. To keep at His word. To keep keeping it. To keep pressing on with it. To keep growing in it. To make sure you are diligently understanding everything God is saying every time. And you are busy doing that. Let me be busy in obedience. God will do His own part. Amen. The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way, and they will flee before you. How many ways? 7 ways. This will happen. It will come to pass. The Lord shall command a blessing upon you in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest your hand unto, and it shall bless you in the land which the Lord thy God gives you. The Lord shall establish you an holy people unto Himself, as He has sworn unto you. If did you see that my emphasis this morning is on what? If. If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in His ways, and all people of the earth that see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you, and the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give you. The Lord shall open unto you. Did you see something that was recurrent? What did you see? The Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Is it? Don't cut corner about obedience. Don't procrastinate obedience. Because procrastinated obedience is equal to what? Disobedience. Selective obedience. There are certain things you choose to obey, but there are other things you decided not to. Selective obedience is equal to what?
this obedience. Rational obedience. You only obey when something is reasonable to you. And before you can obey, we have to prove and prove and prove and prove and prove. When we are finished proving, say, well, if that is it, then I'll do it, but nobody can push me up. That's a very disobedient guy going on the road. Praise the Lord. The Lord shall open unto you the good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and you will not be a debtor. Thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make you, what did he say? He will make you the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above. Once a while. That was what he said? You'll be above only. And thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command you this day, observe and do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. No. We face where you are going in obedience. Let me not, because I'm trusting God that your own chapter, grace of God, we end in verse 14. From verse 15 to verse 69:8. I know you don't like me to read it. Eh? You want us to read it? Eh? Go and read it on your own. After all, it's in your Bible. Is it not in your Bible? I will not preach it to you. Read it. It's very important to read it. Very good. But I'm surprised that in 14 verses, every good thing you need in life by obedience will have come to your life. To cut corners. If you choose not to hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, not to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day. Then he began. Then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Mm-mm. It will not be so with you, because you will be obedient. This morning I'm going to call you to obedience. If you have been playing about with cutting corners, by twisting the word of God, if you think you can sit in a corner and begin to disobey the voice of the Lord, what you are playing with is terrible. Nobody goes there and it's good for them. And I'm surprised that so many, 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 many verses were used to describe the result of disobedience. Even close heavens, tyrant that our brother started talking to you about. They are all because somebody will not obey God. I'm going to ask you to join me this morning. And if you are ever born again, listen. You are born again to become children of obedience. The reason why Jesus Christ died on the cross is that the life of disobedience might be terminated, that you may receive a life that has the grace to obey. And if disobedience is in your life today, it only points to a fact that you have not met the man of Calvary properly. Christ is here to give you a new heart and to give you the life of obedience. Even Jesus himself was the epitome of obedience. Everything the Father told him to do, he never walked outside his own boundary. Everything the Father told him, he said, I have done all you have told me to do. I have glorified you on the earth. As I hear, I have spoken. What I see you do is what I have done. Jesus demonstrated obedience even unto death. If you were even to die, it's better to die obeying. Don't let anybody steer your life into disobedience. Don't let anybody say, well, if you can just stop doing this, we will promote you. A lie. That promotion is your demotion. If it was just that they demote you to a small level, it would have been all right. It's your demotion onto bottomless pits. I beg you this morning, maybe I should use the way the Bible put it, I beseech you this morning, by the mercies of God, that you not receive the grace of God in vain. That you do not sit in this conference and walk out only to disobey God. I charge you this morning as I pray with you and as I commend you to God that you will be obedient children. That you will be diligent to hearken to his voice. And that every instruction that he has passed on to your life, you will not be too big to obey it. I pray that the Holy Ghost, who himself is the spirit of obedience, will walk on your life. But do you know that if you have been disobeying, the only way out of disobedience is obedience. What I say is the way out of disobedience is obedience. Don't promise to obey. Obey. Did you hear me? Eh? Don't say, by the grace of God, I will obey next year. No. What should you do? What should you do? Obey. 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 There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and to obey. To perpetuate this move of God, we must perpetuate obedience. To keep these open heavens, I must grow in obedience. To be ever relevant, I must perfect in obedience. And for God to look down on me and keep saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, I must press on progressively in my obedience. I must mature in obedience. I must perfect in obedience. I must actually grow progressively in obedience. I must look for all that God is saying, and I must keep obeying. Lord, I will obey you. If you join me in prayer,
I'm ready to commit you to the Lord. I'm ready to say, Lord, that which you have started to do in our day, let it not be cut short. Let it grow. Let it be made manifest. Will you rise as we pray together? Thank you, Father, this morning. Holy Spirit, thank you for what you are talking about. We can have a move that will never stop again if we go on in obedience. We can see God at work. We can see Him setting us above and not beneath. We can see you, God, subduing nations under our feet if we act diligently. If we obey the word of God, if we follow this life of Jesus, Lord, we are hearing you. Can I now like you to talk to God? The only if that God is setting before me and you, if you will therefore act diligently, carefully, deliberately, with all intention, and with all that lies within you, if you will act diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, if you will keep within the boundary of His instruction, if you will not put yourself like any other, if you will not turn to the left or to the right, all that God has spoken concerning you, it shall come to pass. Please go ahead and pray. Please go ahead and say, Lord, I am ready to obey thy word. I am ready to obey your word. I am ready to obey the living word of God. I am ready to obey. I am ready, Lord. I am ready not to cut corners. Oh, Lord, I am ready to obey thy word. My Father, I am ready to obey the living word of God. I am ready to obey thy word. I am ready, Lord. I am ready. Let it come from your heart. Let it be your personal commitment this morning.
I am ready,
Lord. There are some of you that say, I want to renew my obedience.
I am ready.
I want to perpetuate obedience. I want to progress in my obedience.
I am ready.
I want to be deliberate in my obedience. I want to walk in the light of your word. I want to be diligent. I don't want to be casual. Lord, here am I this morning. Oh yes, Lord, I am
ready
to obey.
To obey.
To obey.
Thy word.
Jehovah,
I am ready to obey
the living word of God.
Word of God.
No matter how little,
I am ready,
no matter
to
how tiny. No matter how insignificant it appears,
I am ready to obey thy word.
My Father,
I am ready to obey,
not to cut
corners.
You don't want to be like other nations.
I
want to walk within the
boundaries.
To walk within
from this morning,
this morning, Lord,
in the name of Jesus.
I am ready in the name of Jesus, to obey.
Thank you.
Thy will.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let God hear your voice now. Let the Spirit of God. There are several issues we have talked about this morning. There's no problem with God doing all he said he would do. All that he intends to bring about. This move is not going to be cut short. And you will not die young by the grace of God. But it was disobedience that destroyed the anointing on Saul. And what was his disobedience? The boundaries. Don't take anything from the Amalekites. Don't touch their unclean thing. As little as that appears, the spirit of disobedience will not let him go. It was a little matter. Go to Jericho, destroy it. Take nothing out of it. Achan cannot obey simple instruction. He cut his own life short. He brought many people to death. His family was stoned completely, wiped out. You may say a little disobedience. A little disobedience only points to a life of disobedience. A life that will argue with God. This morning, I'm sensing in my heart that I must call you to step before God today, to enter into a covenant of obedience. I sense that I must call you. Those of you that heaven is going to consider for something glorious, that I must call you to commit your heart to the life of obedience. Some of you have scuttled what could have become great simply because little disobedience, you broke your boundaries. God is willing to give you another chance, but you need to repent and say, Lord, I know what I did. I know why I went down there. I know the senior prophet that derailed my heart. I know the kind of people I began to move with. They made my life look as if it is too gagged. And I thought I need liberty. This morning, Lord, I'm coming back. God bless you. I sense I should call you to say, God, this life of quiet disobedience. Sometimes you don't obey because the person to whom God says you should submit, you think is too small. Sometimes because obedience looks unreasonable to you, you are disobeying. Many times because it looks as if it's not a matter. There are many people around you who are not called to do it. That's why you decided, let me also do what others are doing. You are breaking your boundaries. I sense that God will have me call you onto a covenant with God this morning to say, Lord, I'm ready to obey you. I'm ready to let go. Every issue of disobedience, we must uproot it this morning so that it does not uproot you from the kingdom of God. Don't let it uproot you from where God is going with you. I sense I must give you a space this morning. Thank you, my brothers. In Jesus' name we are praying. Some of you are saying, it's not that I did not want to obey, but I only said God should give me time. Procrastinated obedience. There's something God has instructed your life for, but it's now 4 years. You have been saying, I will, but you never did. Will you come before God this morning and say, Father, this matter, it has kept me stagnant. I want to obey you now. Please walk out. Just walk out and say, Lord, I am coming. Just walk out quickly, quickly, quickly. Let this morning, let it go on record that every issue of disobedience, every procrastinated obedience, if there's no space here, just kneel down where you are. Just go on your knees and say, Lord, I'm hearing you. How many years will you struggle with God? How long will God struggle with you? Step out here today and say, Lord, I am ready to obey now. Jonah was disobedient. God sent him somewhere else. Out of disobedience, he faced another direction. Do you know his life ended with a question mark? Even though God wanted to use him mightily, he couldn't accomplish. Step out here quickly, my friend, and say, Lord, enough of arguing with you. Enough of facing a different direction. Enough of postponing when I will obey. Sister, please come down. Come down. If God is going to work with your life, this heart of disobedience must be uprooted. Thank you. If you are coming, do that quickly. Don't say, I'm a senior man. I'm a senior man. Disobedience has crippled you. Stand up this morning and come. And say, now, Lord, the battle is over. I surrender all. If you are coming, please do quick. I will not have this much time anymore. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my friend. Just come down quickly and be on your knees, handing over your heart to the Lord. Handing over your character to God. Thank you, that lady. Thank you, that lady. God bless you. God bless you. Holy Spirit, please do a work now to perpetuate these open heavens. All right. All right. All right. All right. All right, Lord. All right, Lord. If you are supposed to come, please go on your knees quickly, because I intend to conclude now. Young man, if you are outside and the Lord is saying, go and surrender your heart. Go and surrender your heart. Come down quickly. Come down. I will wait a little for you, but you need to run. You cannot walk casually here. You need to run and say, Lord, this morning, my life cannot remain the same again. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, my brother. If the Holy Spirit has called you from outside, come down quickly. If he's calling you from behind, from the language group, come down quickly and say, Lord, I will obey you. I will obey you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, my friend. If you are coming, run, 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 and get yourself before God. God bless you. God bless you. Kerima Shatoro. Holy Spirit, this morning, don't allow us to stop you from what you are ready to do. Thank you, Madam. Thank you, Madam. Thank you, Madam. Just calm down. Your men, make sure that today we are seeing every activity of disobedience and let go. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Are you coming? Get on your knees quickly, my friend. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Holy Spirit, I hope you know that disobedience is a lifestyle. You don't need to disobey something big before the life of disobedience overtake you. And I hear some of you saying, is it not a small thing? It's not a small thing. Disobedience is rebellion against God. It can never be a small thing. You cannot be a rebel and God will be lavishing his grace on your life. Let it go on record this morning that today, 13th of August, every secret disobedience, every quiet disobedience, and every flagrant disobedience, you are laying it down at the feet of the Lord this morning. That from this morning, the heart of disobedience, take it away in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask this morning, all the lives that are kneeling down here, as they put their finger on this issue today, please, Father, he said disobedience is like witchcraft. It's a serious abomination before you. Is an assault against God. Is an assault against the authority of God. Lord, how can we kick against the stone and hope to be all right? This morning, Father, all those that are kneeling down, have mercy on us in the name of Jesus. Every iota of disobedience, every iota of disobedience, wherever it is emanating from this morning, please, Father, uproot it in the name of Jesus. We plead that the blood of Jesus will speak for us. You became obedient unto death that we might be saved, that we might be delivered. How could we perpetuate and continue in disobedience and hope to receive what you have planned? This morning, O God, uproot the life of disobedience. Give us a life that obeys. That from this morning, obedience will be our passion. Obedience will be our lifestyle. From this morning, O God, I pray, we will be diligent at obeying you. We will be consistent in obedience. We will persist in obeying you. From this morning, O God, I ask that all these lives that have come before you, please open a new chapter for them. The heavens that were closed against them because of disobedience, the ground that became dry and hard under their feet because of disobedience, the doors that were closed because of disobedience. The great calamities they ran into because of disobedience. This morning, Father, as I stand as your servant, have mercy upon us. Amen. Turn their story around in the name of Jesus. Amen. As they rise in obedience, oh God, please turn your eyes unto them. Amen. Let the heavens open over their head again. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Why these people are kneeling down in prayer? There are still some of you who are standing out there. Listen to me. Something tells you that you are not disobedient. It's only that. It's only that. The things are not convenient. You are telling yourself, I am not the only one doing it. There are many others are doing it, and God has not queried them. Why is my own different? So you are standing there, and you are saying to God, your instruction is too hard. You are putting too much pressure on my life. Is that why you are standing there? Is that why you are making your neck very strong? Is that what you are explaining why you will not surrender to God this morning? I would have loved you to ask God for grace to obey rather than argue against obedience. I think I should give you one more second to either stretch forth your hand to heaven and say, God, you have caught me. You have caught me. You have caught my heart. Lord, have mercy on me. Let me give you that 1 second to do that, because I'm about to conclude this prayer. Holy Spirit, please. No one must be cut short in this meeting. It was difficult for Saul to find help, because when he should have obeyed, when he should have repented, he kept explaining, it is the people. It is the people. Even me, I don't want to. But the people did. Lord, I ask this morning that all that the enemy has cut short, but they are turning to you in obedience this morning, please release them again. Release their lives. Release their fortune. Release your grace upon their lives. Lord, give me this opportunity to see them turn around. Please, Lord, let it be so. Let this simple prayer mark their lives turn around. Lord, give them a testimony that as they went in obedience, everything has turned around. Lord, let it be so. Holy Spirit, please do it for us. Thank you, Father. Now, while these brothers are kneeling down before God, today is also a day of covenant. Will you make a covenant with God this morning? The covenant of obedience. Will you say, Lord, the things that you are promising to do in my day, I enter into this covenant to obey you. And never to cut short what you want to do. We are all going to respond to that now. And if the Spirit of God has dealt with your heart, and you want to stand in this covenant, say, Lord, this morning, if I've not taken obedience seriously before, today, I put my hand in your hand. I will live to obey you. I will live to walk in obedience. I will walk within my boundaries. I will keep the instructions of this anointing. what I did wrongly before. Lord, have mercy. But from today, O God, set me apart. Set me apart. Set me apart unto obedience. That, Lord, you will look down and you will see a man, a woman in me who walk in the fear of God and who walk in obedience. Let it be so, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. If you join that prayer, please now set your right hand above your head, wherever you are. You are putting your hand in the hand of God this morning. Lord, look at our hand, O God. We put this hand in your hand. We will trust you and obey you. We will take you by your word, O God. We will be obedient children. We will never be part of rebellion. This door of heaven that you are opening, you will keep it open, O God. It will not be shut again. This ministry that you are bringing us back into, Lord, from this morning, as we place our hand in your hand, you will help us walk with you. Where we lack diligence, where we allowed omission, where we thought little deviation will not matter, where we thought imperceptible compromise will not affect anything, where we thought even the result of the anointing was sufficient to rub off our disobedience, we stand before you this morning with our hands stretched to you. Lord, we will not go that way anymore. Lord, I plead with you that you will hold our hands. Hold us to this matter. For the sake of our generation, for the sake of our nations, and for the sake of the kingdom of God that has to expand, we ask this morning, keep us with the spirit of obedience. Thank you that you will do this beyond what we can ask or imagine this hour. And for the rest of this conference, as your servant come to build on these things, you will bring us to the climax. By the time you are releasing us, you are releasing us to walk under heavens that you have been read. We will see you at work. All that you said in Deuteronomy shall come to pass. All that you have declared over our life shall come to pass. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen.